Now you kiss and Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay, that sounds good.
I'm gonna read it.
Dear Chase... They're stickers.
Yeah.
My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome to the second hour of the Hot Corner. You're missing the first hour. You can download that at the Fan Podcast at 1080thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, including places that rhyme with Machotify. Manny Machotify. You can still get your stuff there wherever you download your podcasts. Grab a listen, like, and subscribe. No fair or foul this week, as Schultzy and I decided we just got too much baseball to talk about. None of this messing around.
Lots going on this week.
We're not screwing around today.
No A-Rod, like World Series, like breaking news, signing a new contract with the Yankees. But
go ahead.
No, sorry. Some more teams going to be playing under the MLB video option now. They're going to be on MLB.com as opposed to on TV. So
I actually can't wait for the offseason. Because, Schultzy, we got so many stories to get into in the offseason with the RSNs. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about, like, Charlie Blackmon and that kid for the Pirates that needed, like, one more plate appearance for a bonus and didn't get it. Stuff like that. Like, we have so much to get into. Umpiring, robots, etc. I'm actually really excited for the offseason. But I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
No, totally.
We got a lot in front of us right now.
There's still, what, technically a month left of the season.
And right now, if you had to pick, right now, from what you've seen, okay, let's pretend this Dodger-Padre game is 6-6, okay? It's 6-5. Let's pretend it's 6-6. Who's your choice to win it all right now?
Wait, like the World Series?
Yeah.
Just everything?
It's tough to say, huh?
I mean, like, if you're asking me who I think's going to be there, at this point, the Padres do look like the best team in the National League. So
they
I've
sure
got to say San Diego v. like Kansas City.
Let's go, baby.
Who I want to be there. I wouldn't mind a Subway Series.
Sure,
you know, I think
sure.
The
you
classic,
said that earlier.
Yeah, baseball fan of me would like that.
Yep,
but
you
yeah,
said
like,
that earlier.
I think it's going to be a wacky World Series. Like, hell, Detroit could end up making a run.
I mean, last year was a wacky World Series. I thought Texas-Arizona was a great World Series. You know, it's not David Freese on the Cardinals. It's not, you know, Ben Zobrist for the Cubs in 16.
No, it's Mitch Garver on the Rangers.
You know, but I thought Rangers-Diamondbacks was a good series last year.
No, we all found out who Adolis Garcia was. Like, the Rangers were pretty stacked.
Yeah, so. That was... Corey Seager is a two-time MVP in the American League and National League.
Marcus,
last time I saw that, that's Frank Robinson.
Well, and Marcus Semien still hitting 300 last season. Like, they were loaded from 1-9 with Bochy, and there you go.
I think we're in a good spot. So let's turn our eyes over to the American League. And it's funny because talking about this Yankee-Royals series, to me, is very similar as talking to this Dodger-Padres series. The difference is... the Padres have the financial gains. They have the years of building to get to this point. They have superstars all over the place. And that's why they can give the Dodgers a run for their money. This Royals team, I'm going to sit here. This is when I'll tap a two on my shoulder here and take credit for it. I told you this Royals team was going to be good. They spent money on the bullpen. They've got veteran starters. And they are playing a Yankee team that, in my opinion, is scared to lose. You talked about the Mets with house money. They just walked into a room and there's cash everywhere. Okay? Well, the Kansas City Royals are you know, DuckTales. What's the uncle on DuckTales, the rich? Ducky McScrooge or something like that.
Yeah.
He dives into his giant safe of coins. That's the Royals. The Royals, you're ahead of schedule. You got Bobby Witt, yeah, but you remind me of the Astros in 2015. The Astros made the playoffs. Everybody was like, it's about 16 for the Astros. They made the playoffs in 15. They lost to the Royals, but boy, who did win the World Series? But boy, they gave the Royals a hell of a time in that series. And now here are the Royals right now doing the same thing to the Yankees. When I watch these two games, the Royals to me are the better team. The Yankees, if it's not Judge and Soto, who's it going to be? Huh? Who's it going to be? It's not going to be Carlos Rodon. It's not going to be Giancarlo Stanton. You know, I'd like to see a guy like Austin Wells step up a little bit. Alex Verdugo had a good game the other night.
Jazz Chisholm, I know he's hit a homer, but like, seriously, they brought him in, and since that huge, five homers in 72 hours, I haven't really heard much from Chisholm.
Yeah, what scares you about the Yankees if you can get around Soto and Judge? Now, that's a big if, but if you can get around Soto and Judge, what are you scared of?
Yeah, I mean, Stanton's 1-for-8 so far, so not much.
Rizzo's hurt. He didn't even make the roster.
Wells was batting cleanup the other night, and I'm like, ooh, the Yankees looking at Austin Wells batting cleanup. He's no Cal Raleigh. I'm sorry.
And I like Wells for the future of the Yankees. I really do. You know, I don't know if it's the mustache, but he gives me Thurman Munson vibes. You know, just like a really solid, every day-to-day kind of player, positive, a leader. I like Austin Wells for the future of the Yankees, but I'm not ready for him now. He's not ready for it now.
No, the Yankees haven't been ready at catcher since Jorge Posada retired. I mean, Gary Sanchez wasn't really, like, he had two good seasons and then was nothing. Like, literally, they have been struggling at that position for 20 years.
And you could argue that Jorge Posada was a little bit of struggle from time to time. Good hitter.
Oh, you know, he was
not the most amazing catcher.
Never a defensive guy. He was always a hitter first. People ran
like a Javi Lopez in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, and that back in the day when the offensive catcher, I mean, it was a little bit more rare. It was Posada. It was like Ivan Rodriguez. I don't know, like maybe one other. But in the 90s, no, he was it basically, other than Ivan.
Tomorrow. Oh, dude, we got four games tomorrow. Oh,
yes.
Baby.
Yeah, it goes 4-2-2 and then 4.
Why is Pierre's got to work all day tomorrow?
Sucks.
Royals Yankees tomorrow is going to be Schmidt against Seth Lugo. Now, let me tell you what. If Seth Lugo goes out there and does what he did for my fantasy team all year, you can mark the Yankees dead.
I mean, the Royals are, I hate to say it, but they're not like loaded like the Yankees, but they got guys at every position.
So that's what I'm asking. How did we get here, Jordan? How did we get here to this point where the best team in the National League, the Dodgers, record-wise, the best team in the American League, the Yankees, record-wise, get into this division series and they look outmatched? How did we get here?
I mean, when you've got... I feel like the Royals have had, since their last World Series win in, 2015, 2016?
Royals won in 15.
Thank you, in 15.
Lost in 14 to Madison Bumgarner, won in 15.
They've had kind of that, like, legacy feel, even though they're not really necessarily a team that you feel like kept guys around. But I think it's Salvador Perez. I mean, he's, like, probably, like, the one guy left. But
bonafide Hall of Famer.
But literally, I feel like he is a locker room changer like a Carlos Santana is, you know, when he came in for the Mariners, like for the Twins, huge locker room impact like Manny Machado is. Like Salvador Perez and hitting 300 plus, 330. I mean, you throw him in at catcher in the postseason because thankfully there's not as many games, so he doesn't have to DH. It frees up Vinny Pasquantino coming off the IL to then go DH, and then that means you can put Tommy Pham in the outfield. Like, yep. The Royals have options. Hunter Pence, who was hitting really terribly at the beginning of the season, really turned out in the second half. You had Adam Frazier, former Mariner, that was like getting like three or four different clutch hits, so like kind of like the Mets. When they needed to, they played really good baseball, and now they're here.
And I think what the Royals did really well that you were kind of hitting on, and this is what I was preaching at the beginning of the season about this Royals team, is they signed vets. They signed veterans. And they rely on Bobby Witt a lot, as you should. The Mariners rely heavily on Julio.
Yep.
Look at the Braves. Acuna goes down and they struggle. They relied on him a lot. Albies goes down. When he comes back, Albies is playing out of his mind, but he can't switch hit because his wrist hurts. You know, like, there are these young superstars that people do heavily rely on, and Kansas City is heavily relying on, but they've seen. Talking about Vinny Pasquiano, talking about these guys, Sal Perez, old man Perez, who's clearly the leader. I heard this interview with Tommy Pham. He was on MLB Network around Labor Day. I was in Seattle and I was listening to MLB Network, and they interviewed Tommy Pham. They were like, what kind of advice are you giving to Bobby Witt as an up and coming superstar on a playoff push? What are you telling him? What are you talking to him about to help him become the future leader? And Tommy Pham says, well, Bobby Witt's telling me things. Like, that guy is our leader.
That's pretty awesome.
So if you can give me Sal Perez, old man, quote-unquote Sal Perez, who's a World Series champion and a future Hall of Famer, his leadership on top of some kid that you rely on who also happens to be a leader, that's dangerous. Because I don't think the Yanks have that. You got Garrett Cole, Aaron Judge, and Juan Soto. And Aaron Judge has done squadoosh, and Cole got touched up a bit in game one. As far as the top teams go, and I know we talked about the Dodgers and Padres and me not having faith in the Dodgers, but the Padres are a good team. They're a World Series team. The Royals are not a World Series team. And no, they're going to take you to five.
Not quite. No.
And they're going to take you to five.
No.
So what does that say about you? If a team that's not ready to win a World Series and you're neck and neck with them, it sounds like to me the New York Yankees are not ready to win the World Series.
I mean, they didn't look like they were ready from game one this year. They're a good team. Like, I remember people freaking out about, like, their bats opening up the season, you know, really well, but we were still talking about, well, where's their pitching? And the Mariners proved to us, unfortunately, that you can have five elite pitchers, but if you don't hit, you're not going to get to the playoffs. But the Yankees don't even have, like, two elite pitchers. I'm sorry, Garrett Cole and nobody else, you know, funky throwing Nestor Cortez ain't going to get you a World Series. You're looking for like that 1-2-3 punch that you've expected from Yankees yesteryear pitching staffs.
It's not Clemens, Pettit, and El Duque coming out of that pen.
Yeah, there's no David Cohn and then David Wells right after him. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, and there's no, you know, there's no Wetland and Mo Rivera coming out of that bullpen either.
Exactly, and that's definitely, you've seen like, and the Cleveland Indians have this in Class A, you know, to a point where like, I feel like the Yankees' best pitcher is like Clay Holmes, essentially. You're seeing these guys every night, and Clay Holmes was getting his ass bitten in August. And this is the problem that I was saying.
Tied for most blown saves in a season, Clay Holmes.
Yeah, but yet, yeah, elite hitters are going to face him pretty much every night in the playoffs. And this is what I was saying the problem would have been for the Mariners if they made the playoffs, is their bullpen ain't elite enough. And I think we're seeing, unfortunately, the bullpen for New York as well as their starting pitching just ain't elite enough.
And that's where we'll go to next. Talking about bullpens, the most elite bullpen in the playoffs got a little bit exposed yesterday. Is this going to come back and bite them because they had a chance? We'll get to the other side of the American League bracket next. That's Jordan Schultz. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan. If you're hearing that news, that music, the Padres have brought in their closer, Robert Suarez. Lights out in the stadium. Song up on blast. And Suarez coming out to the mound. Two outs in the bottom of the eighth. Or the top of the eighth, excuse me. He's going to go for a four-out save here. And let me tell you what, baby. I'm here for it. I'm absolutely here for it. And I'll be here for you, baby, all night long. I had to. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll dive into the Cincinnati Reds and their new managerial choice and why that really enrages the largest fan of Terry Francona you've ever met in your entire life. We'll get to that in about 15 minutes, but we do need to give some love over to the other side of the bracket in the American League, and that is Cleveland and Detroit. I love, and just kind of like what we're seeing here with Dodgers, Padres, what we're seeing with Mets, Phillies. I love in this portion of the playoff bracket when you get two division teams. They've seen each other. It used to be 19 times a season. Now it's 13 times a season, but that's still a lot.
Yeah.
You know these teams. You know these guys. you know their ins, their outs. AJ Hinch, and that's where I want to start. AJ Hinch, you know, I hate the trash throws. I think it's one of the biggest scandals in the history of Major League Baseball that doesn't get enough credit, doesn't get enough coverage, and doesn't get enough ramifications. We'll see what happens when Jose Altuve comes up on the Hall of Fame ballot. His numbers do say that he is a Hall of Famer, but yo, man, you did some shady, shady stuff. Some real shady stuff. And A.J. Hinch was there, but I never doubted the fact that A.J. Hinch is a damn good manager.
Oh, yeah. That's not in question.
And you are seeing that now with the Tigers. You are absolutely seeing that. They have no player on their team with 100 RBIs. They have no player on their team with 30 home runs. They have no player on their team that's really an all-star outside of Tarik Skubal. Okay? Yet this team is in the playoffs. Okay, congratulations. Kudos. Got it. Cleveland blows you out game one. As they should. Cleveland's the better team. Cleveland, with the way the Yankees are playing right now, if they were to scoot by the Royals and Cleveland gets by the Tigers, I'd take the Clevelands to win that series, no doubt about it. Not because I'm a fan, but because they're the better team. Cleveland missed an insane opportunity yesterday. And knowing baseball the way we watch baseball, this better not hurt you. You got Skubal out of the game in a 0-0 game. Now, the Tigers' bullpen is solid, but you got past Skubal without being down runs. Boyd pitched really well for you. You got past Skubal without giving up runs yourself. This is your golden opportunity to slam the door. And Cleveland missed it because Skubal's going to throw game five if it goes to game five. And do you want to play Tarik Skubal again in game five? I don't. And the other fascinating part is this is why playoffs are different than everything else.
Yep.
Cleveland's got the best bullpen in all of the postseason. It's not even close. Whether it's Hunter Gaddis or Emmanuel Clase, whoever it is, like that 6-7-8-9 lineup that Stephen Vogt can throw out there every night on the mound to hold, save, and close out games is the best we've got in baseball right now.
I mean, can I have you guess how many times...
Cade Smith?
How many times Class A has given up three runs in one appearance all season?
How many?
Zero until that game.
Exactly.
I don't even think he's given up two in one game.
But this is where you make your bones as a manager.
Yep.
Stephen Vogt brought him in the eighth. It was a bad decision. He got out in the eighth. But how many multi-inning save situations has Emmanuel Clase been in this year?
That's a good question. I honestly don't know.
The answer is one.
Okay, so that's really
the answer
not
is now two.
That's not his forte.
It's
either.
Not his forte. Okay. He's a one-inning guy. But in classic Francona fashion, which we'll get to in about 10 minutes, you throw the best arm you got.
Yeah, isn't that what elite pitchers do
you
in the
do
postseason?
In that situation in the postseason, closers out the door. You know, Josh Hader, if I need you in the seventh, you're coming in the seventh. If I need you in the 10th, you're coming in the 10th. I don't think Stephen Vogt needed to put Clase in the eighth.
Really? Okay.
And he got out of it, but in the ninth, Carpenter hits a three-run bomb off him. He gives up a base hit. He walks a guy, and then boom, it's 3-0, and you're out. I think Cleveland is the better team. I think they will prevail in this series. But that was a golden opportunity missed. Tarik Skubal threw like the reigning Cy Young winner did. And the other guy that I want to argue is the Cy Young winner blew it. You had your chance and they missed it.
Guardians, too. I think they did get kind of lucky. If it weren't for Matthew Boyd pitching, what, like four or five shutout innings in that game one?
Five, yeah.
Former Oregon State product, by the way.
Game two,
thank
you. Tanner Bibee was on fire game one.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry about that. I mean, if it weren't for that, then they wouldn't have even been in that game. So it's just crazy to see. I guess
that's what I mean. Like, you had a guy that pitched out of his mind and you survived Skubal.
Mm-hmm.
You got to win that game.
Yeah, but that's what we're saying. It's crazy to see this offense that was so good at the beginning of the year, the changing of the stadium, you know, stuff, taking away things to like get an air pocket in for more home runs to go out. Like, Stephen Kwan, he's been hitting ass for the last 2 months of the regular season going into the playoffs. It seems like all those guys we were hearing about just kind of, we're not now. Like, I don't think the Naylor brothers are hitting off their booties anymore.
No, no, no. Big Naylor, big boy.
Josh Naylor. He had a great year.
And he's had a good postseason.
Okay.
He was good. He was great in game one. He had a hit in game two when it was needed, but nothing came from it. This can't be the Jose Ramirez show. And if you get past Skubal, you got to make him pay for it. That's how you go to a World Series.
Well, in this situation, too, A.J. Hanch is way more experienced than Stephen Vogt.
Without a doubt.
So who's going to be the battle of minds? Who's going to be the winner? It's always going to be A.J. Hinch.
It's always going to be A.J. Hinch. Similar to how it could be in Cincinnati. We'll get to that next. But first, I'll toss it over to Schultzy with sports. Padres still up 6-5 on the Dodgers as we're in the bottom of the eighth. There is one out as Machado just flied out, infield fly. This game we'll keep an eye on as, God, I love baseball. It's just must-watch baseball. You know what I mean? I've been listening to a lot of baseball on the radio still in the playoffs, and I absolutely love it. It's my favorite thing in the world. I like hearing Homer calls. You know, I'm lucky as a Cleveland Guardians fan that I get Tom Hamilton. Just as we did back in the day as you and me as kids, Jordan, we got Dave Niehaus on calls, and that's just the best thing you could ever imagine to hear.
I still get goosebumps.
And it's tough when you watch a guy like Michael Kay call an Astros Detroit game. You're like, this is garbage.
Really? I actually was a fan.
Oh, really? Maybe I just don't like Michael Kay.
Maybe. You know what? Maybe. But I kind of thought it had a big game feel. And then hearing Bob Costas also on the call.
Oh, my God, dude. You're not Vin Scully. Shut up.
No, that was getting a little insufferable. Like, I kind of thought we were going to get like Bob Costas when he was calling games in like the mid-90s. He actually called.
He was great in the mid-90s.
He called one of the Mariners' famous 95 games, either the season, like a tiebreaker against the Angels, where Luis Soho rounded the bases, or one of their five in that, you know, game, their ALDS series. I think like game two or three was Edgar hitting the double. But like Bob Costas was in on that series. So I was kind of expecting like yesteryear Bob Costas. But yeah, you're right.
And now he's like, and the Yankees are playing the Royals. And let me tell you, there was this one time I talked to George Brett. Royal famous, and you're like, yo, dude,
no kidding.
You're not Vin. You can't tell stories like that, man, Bob. You are the Olympics guy. You're the World Series guy. This doesn't work.
No, I hear that.
So yeah. I've been listening to local radio guys because it's more fun. That being said, I got a bone to pick. I got a real big bone to pick. I'm very, very frustrated, very, very upset. When I heard this, Joe texts me. My absent co-host today, I can see the empty chair just disappointed. He's got like a stepdad vibe to it over there. I caught the news that Terry Francona will be the new manager of the Cincinnati Reds. Now, if you look at this from a baseball standpoint, this is probably a fantastic hire. This is a home run hire for the Reds. They got a bunch of kids. We're up and coming. Ellie De La Cruz, Hunter Green, they got some pieces. They got Encarnacion Stan. Like, they've got some kids that this could be a team for the future. And clearly, David Bell was not working. That was not working. I thought it would, but it eventually did not. This is a slam dunk home run hire for Cincinnati. You couldn't manage the Guardians this year, huh? Where could go to the World Series and
didn't he need like two surgeries or something like that? Like
yeah, but you're back now, huh? You couldn't just like take a season off and then maybe take this core we got here to maybe win a World Series, huh?
You sound like me bitter when Chip Kelly left the Oregon Ducks.
What? Dude. What is wrong with you, man? You had to retire because your stomach problems, your hernia problems. We are worried about your health, amigo. We love you. We want you to live a long, luxurious, retired life. You can't go take the job in the same state. You don't even got to move. You could stay with us. I like Stephen Vogt, but we could have you. Tito. You're us. Outside of Charlie Manuel and Mike Hargrove, Tito. I got drunk one night in Pullman, the night the Cleveland Indians hired Terry Francona. I got so stinking drunk, and I was yelling at the bar the whole night, Tito! Tito! We're going to the World Series! I yelled it so much that I walked home hammered and stopped at the grocery store, the IGA, down there, Dismore's, at the bottom of Stadium and Grand. Shout out Cougs. And I walked in there and I bought two frozen Totino's pizza because I was so drunk I thought it said Tito's pizza.
Tito's pizza, baby.
And I was like, we're having Tito's pizza tonight. And Terry took us to a World Series in 16, and I love you for it. I'm just mad that you're not with us. Fantastic hire, though, right?
I mean, it was...
Fantastic hire.
It was kind of out of the blue. It was like a Dusty Baker, like all of a sudden the Astros calling him coming out of retirement. Same thing that the Texas Rangers did with Bruce Bochy. The same thing the Chicago White Sox did with Tony La Russa, albeit he was way past his prime. I mean, it's kind of a... It's an upset, huge upset when you get one of these guys running your organization. And obviously the Reds, it kind of tells you exactly where they are and how attractive of a team they are if somebody legendary as,
I was surprised to see the job being as desirable as it was.
Yeah, because, I mean, he beat out the likes of, like, Scott Servais and a couple of other, you know, like, kind of mediocre managerial names out there, none of which I thought were better than David Bell. But, you know, whoever made this decision in the dark of night to say, let's just take a shot and see if he'll accept our call.
And that's what it was. Yeah. They just shot a phone call over to him and said, hey, are you interested in this gig? And he said, you know what? I am interested in this gig. Quote, it just felt right.
I look at that roster, I'd say, yeah, you need to add some pitching, but you got that kid Marte from the Mariners in that original trade for Suarez that I think he's coming back now from his suspension. So you've got one of your infield spots filled, you've still got Steer. Like, they've literally got 5 of 9 positions with young kids playing very well.
And you've got the most electrifying player in baseball not named Ohtani, Soto, or Judge.
It's true.
You know what I'm mostly scared of? So when Tito retired and Stephen Vogt got the job in Cleveland, the staff is basically the same. It's Stephen Vogt and Tito's staff.
Oh, you think
like
Tito's?
Carl Willis is still there? Like
former Mariner.
We love him. We love him. He's our pitching coach. We absolutely love him. He does everything for us. He creates Cy Young winners.
Yes.
He gets guys that shouldn't be like Alex Cobb is going to throw well tomorrow because of Willis. Is he the new pitching coach for the Cincinnati Reds at the end of the season?
Probably.
Like, that's going to just crush me.
I'm sorry.
Then I'm going to go back into the depths, and I'm going to die because the man who brought me back to life.
I mean, Willis is okay. Like, it's not like the pitching staff, and this isn't Willis's fault. It was that great this year anyways. So, I mean, come on.
Do you think, like, the Cardinals and the Cubs and the Brewers are like, oh, crap? Or do you think they're just like, eh, the Reds will be the Reds.
No, I mean...
How many wins? What's Terry Francona's war as a manager?
I mean, that's a good question. If you're looking like...
5?
Around the division, I don't really see the Cubs doing much better than they did last year. The Pirates... You know, they made a run, and middle of this season, they were kind of in it. I think there were a couple of games, like big turning points, and obviously they've got a cheap owner that kind of decided the direction, and it was just really, you know, last month and a half wasn't good for them. Like, I don't know, St. Louis, like, everybody finished so far behind Milwaukee that I don't think anybody else in the division. I mean, yeah, they see Terry Francona as, like, a big get, but... Can he, if you're asking what the war is, make a 16-game difference up? I'm not sure he can. Might be able to slip into the wild card his first year, but, yeah, they were 16 games out of first place. Brewers won 93 games, and the Cardinals in second place only won 83, and they were still 6 games behind that.
Of course, Baseball Reference has Terry Francona managerial stats.
Of course they do.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You notice every team that he's managed for always has red? Always. He can't not manage for a team with red. It's either Cincinnati Reds, up red. Cleveland Guardians, Indians, red. Boston Red Sox, Philadelphia Phillies. Always red.
Maybe the man likes red.
He was He was a coach. There's a go find this random picture of him. There is a coach photo of Terry Francona with the Oakland A's, and that's just funny to see. It kind of throws you off. It was
because you just see him not in red. And you're
exactly.
Like, this don't make sense, bud.
It was right before he got hired by the Red Sox, I believe. And it's a funny picture to look.
That is absolutely fantastic. Well, the Dodgers and the Padres are down to it. Suarez has got two outs in the top of the ninth, looking to get Gavin Lux out and send this bad boy into tomorrow. And speaking of tomorrow, we'll get to that next. We'll wrap up this bad boy hot corner tonight of the Fan. We'll be back next week with some more playoff get through. We'll be in the AL and NLCS. We'll be in the LCSs. So that will be fun to get into. Joe Fish will be back with us. But Jordan, I'm going to ask you, we got a full slate tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
I'm curious as to why there wasn't a, you know, it was that like, why does Cleveland and Detroit and New York and Kansas City get a day off between games one and two?
I mean,
the answer is the NFL.
You can't compete directly with Sunday football, right?
But I'm still upset about it.
College football apparently is fine. Because that was weird, slipping in all those baseball games.
Yeah, all those games.
Very busy college football Saturday. Five of the top 11 teams upset. Like, it was a wacky one.
That was crazy. But we can play baseball games. But the NFL, it's like, no. We'll do Mets and Phillies and Dodgers, Padres, but we can't. Anyway, so tomorrow is a couple of game threes and a couple game fours. We got Guardians, Tigers, Alex Kopp versus undecided for Detroit. I haven't seen him throw this year, but I hope he's good. Suarez for the Phillies against Quintana, who actually had a really nice start the other day for the Mets. Yankees, Royals at 4 o'clock. That'll be Schmidt versus Lugo, and no word yet on Dodgers, Padres tomorrow. I think this is the Joe Musgrove slot for the Padres, so I'm not sure what they are going to do. They'll probably throw a bullpen game of some type, I would think.
Yeah, like, what do you think the Dodgers, I mean, backs up against the wall, everything changes, right?
Yeah, I don't know what they throw. I'll tell you what, the game of the day that I think is going to be the most fascinating to watch is Yanks-Royals.
I agree.
Yeah, I think Lugo goes out there and pitches well.
And last time, I think it was last season or the season before, whenever the Yankees were in, Clark Schmidt, he got lit up in the playoffs before. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Not done too well.
I don't have faith in this at all. I like that Yankees-Royals game. Now, as a diehard Cleveland fan, you know what I really hate? You know what I really love, Jordan?
Tell me.
Why is it that to watch my team, I got to watch games at noon and 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock?
Sorry, bro.
Just no love for the Midwest, huh?
I mean, at least you work in a place where you can have the TVs on, access to basically everything at once.
That's the truth, man. But, like, it's almost 9 o'clock. If you're a Dodgers-Padres fan, you're at the bar right now.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I'm getting hammed on a Tuesday. Who cares?
Yeah. No,
I watched a hell of a game tonight. Nope. I'm going to watch the Guardians-Tigers tomorrow at noon with a Topo Chico.
Well,
and not one of the hard seltzer Topo Chicos. I heard those are bad, by the way.
You can't also F over the East Coast when it comes to baseball, too. Like, you got to give them something, right? Yankees-Royals matchup's a 7:08 first pitch there in the East Coast time region.
But Detroit, like, the game starts at 3.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Why can't the game start at 5?
Because then you're up against the Phillies and Mets, who are in New York. God.
How dare we do this?
And
it's
that
the
game
same
does start
time
at
zone, though. It's the same time zone.
Yeah, but it's New York compared to Detroit.
Hate all these people.
Wait, Detroit's in the same time zone? They're not in the mountain time zone?
No.
Not with Chicago, huh?
Well, sorry, my bad.
Central. So, yeah, no, they're an hour behind. So, there. My argument stands. They're a little bit further back in the central time zone. It makes sense that the city of Detroit is starting before the city of New York.
Jordan, I need you to understand. This inconveniences me and me alone. Therefore, I am mad. And I will not hear anything else of it.
Bro, I understand. It's not like I've...
I don't care who else it adheres or hurts. It only hurts me, so I am mad.
Oh, all right. I'll do my best to try to, I don't know, maybe... Sounds like you need, like, just a full day off, like, and this might be the last day with four games, so I get why you're upset.
I know.
Like,
I have to work the next 7 days in a row, too.
Oh,
that's actually the deeply rooted mad that I am.
So, see, even if, like, people extend these series out and you could get another four-game day, like, not going to happen.
I'm still working all those days.
Damn. Yeah. No, I get it. I'd be upset, too.
Let's crystal ball this. Guardians-Tigers tomorrow. Who you got? Not a gambling, just a baseball. I don't gamble. I am not every other show on this station where we're going to talk about gambling for 4 hours.
Well, I'm a degenerate.
I know you are, but I am not, and my name is first, okay? So we do not talk gambling on this show. So non-gambling, just a baseball gut. Who you got Guards-Tigers tomorrow?
Tigers. I'm really...
You like the Tigers?
I do. They've literally got young guys hitting at every position, ages like 23 through 27.
I love Riley Green.
I love Carpenter. I feel like since Javi Baez went on the injured list, they've played a lot better.
Torkelson looked dead to rights, but then came back and has been really solid for them.
I know old man Andy Ibañez all of a sudden getting them a big base hit
big
the other day.
Big pinch hit the other day, yeah. Big pinch hit.
Like, and when you got guys like that, just, I mean, with, like I said, a young group of kids that are all way ahead of their point, way ahead of their station. I think you said the Royals are, they're what was the phrase that you used? They're ahead of schedule.
They're ahead of schedule.
I would say that the Tigers are, like, slightly behind the Royals. They're maybe a year or two, like, behind, like, what Kansas City is now.
The Tigers were ahead of schedule in August.
Yeah, no kidding. And then they've got a great manager who's been there before.
Yeah, they got a great manager.
I lean on them,
definitely.
Imagine
if Chicago hired A.J. Hinch, like the tweet said they did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, about
so
that.
You'll take the Tigers over the Tribe tomorrow. I'll take the Tribe, but that's because I'm biased.
I know.
Can the Mets close out the Phillies tomorrow? Ranger Suarez, Jose Quintana, a 5 o'clock first pitch in Queens.
I say that goes five games. And obviously it's a little bit tougher if it goes back to Philly than for New York to win it. But I like New York in that series, but I think it goes five games. So
but you Phillies like the Phillies to win tomorrow?
Yeah, Phillies get the win tomorrow.
That'll drop us to Yankees-Royals. That's Schmidt against Lugo in Kansas City. That's a 2 o'clock first pitch in Missouri.
I'm going all Kansas City in that one, but I feel like because I'm picking all Kansas City, it's just going to be like opposite day, and then Stanton is going to go off for two bombs, and Judge is going to hit a double, and Soto's going to go 3 for 4. So, I mean, they could blow up Seth Lugo, but Kansas City's been playing way better lately, so I'm sticking with who's been playing better lately.
I'm kind of with you. I think this game has Royals all over it, which leads them to a game four. I don't know if it's going to be on Thursday. Let me double check real quick. Game four would be on Thursday, and right now it is scheduled to be Gerrit Cole, Michael Wacha. If the Yankees lose tomorrow, and I'm with you, I'll take the Royals in this game. And for you bettors out there, I will take the Royals on the money line.
Hey.
I don't even know what that means, but it sounds like I know
what
I'm talking
about. Means
that
they're winning straight
up. Cool. I don't know what that means either. I will take the Royals to win this game as well, which would be a fascinating game for Gerrit Cole on the road, back up against it. The whole thing is against you, bud. You got to throw. That I want to see. So for anything else, I want the Royals to win tomorrow because I want to see Gerrit Cole on the mound in a do-or-die matchup. And then the nightcap. We don't have any starters projected yet. Dodgers-Padres, 6 o'clock West Coast time. That's our time as well.
I say the Padres, easy win, unless Ohtani somehow pitches tomorrow. I would not be surprised if the Dodgers all of a sudden pulled a rabbit out of their hat and said, hey, we're going to throw Ohtani for 2 or 3 innings tomorrow. I don't know.
Because desperation?
Just out of... And I bet Ohtani's already coming to Dave Roberts saying, hey, let me try this. Let me see if this is workable. Probably isn't, but... And I do think the San Diego Padres hold all the momentum, but Dodgers got to do something special if they want to win. Otherwise, it's all San Diego.
So you think Padres put them out of their misery tomorrow?
The momentum says so. I mean, I really do think that their bats have just woken up at the right time in the last month and a half or so.
So the Padres win, and they take they get some much-needed time off as they had to play every big game down the stretch, plus the wild card, and they await the end of Mets-Phillies. That's your call, huh?
I love it. I think that, I think they've earned it, and, they're hitting out of their booties right now.
All right, for the two of you listening out there, Schultz, you'll take the Tigers, the Phillies, the Royals, and the Pods. I'll take the Guards. I'll take the Mets tomorrow. The Mets close out Philly tomorrow, and that is a wild thing because I think that team is ass, but I think the Mets close out Philly tomorrow. I'll take the Royals, and I'll take the Dodgers in a bounce-back game. Just
like
for contrarian.
Okay.
I'm with you. I think the Padres are the better team. But for S's and G's, as my mama used to say, well, still says she's alive. I'll take the Dodgers for S's and G's.
Max Muncy will hit one, and I'll be proven wrong.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll catch you next week. More playoff baseball to come. Don't miss out any of it. That's Jordan Schultz. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something. I would do. Yeah.